Hallelujah. We're waiting for that day. The wedding day where we will rejoice and where we will exalt. And that day, amen. Well, welcome to the 2017 Northeast College Training. Hallelujah. So wonderful that we could be together in such a way for this week. It's actually an awesome privilege that we could gather in such a way, even for you all to be here. And, you know, tonight we're just going to give everyone a brief introduction in a form of orientation, what to expect from this week. How many of you, this is the first time, this is your first college training? Maybe you could raise your hands. Well, okay, stand up. Stand up so we could all see you. Wow, that's a good number. Probably a third or a little bit more. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Most of you are incoming freshmen. Is that right? Amen? Amen. We have a special burden for you all. Okay, so hope you all pay it very... Okay, yeah. How many incoming freshmen? Let's just go through. How about if you're incoming freshman, you stand up. Okay, here are the freshmen. Amen. Okay. How about the sophomores? Okay, sophomores. Okay, juniors. Amen. Okay, and then seniors and super seniors all together. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. We're here together. So tonight, it's not really a message, but we do have some burden, some specific burdens, and then I'll start off and then some of the other brothers will follow. But to begin, I think even for the sake of the ones who are here for the first time, we'd just like to give you a brief history of the college training, or even to back up a little bit, why there is a need for training. So we'll get to that point. You know, the college training started in 1991 in Southern California. And at that time, there were probably just a few handful, 30 people, college students, including serving ones. And over the years, actually, it has grown. And so I'll just give you some numbers. By 2006, right, we reached over 300 people. And by 2007, that was my first college training in the East Coast. It was in Athens, Georgia. That was the first, I would say, expansion of the training. And then eventually 2010, there was the Midwest. By 2014, there was a second West Coast training, and the number grew to 800. And then 2015, that was a special year. How many of you were there for the National College Training? Yeah, over 1,200 college students gathered together. Over 1,800 total who registered from across the world coming together, right, to be what? Perfected, that we would be men who would turn the age. So that was the topic of that training. Last year, we covered the topic of the revelation of the mystery, which is from Ephesians. In previous trainings, we covered actually the heart of the Bible, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We covered other topics like man of God, right? From Timothy's, the epistles to Timothy. We covered the humanity of Jesus, right? We covered the course of the church, right? Revelation 2 and 3. And so all of these topics were selected actually with a view towards the college students. That during your college years, you would have a specific vision, a particular goal, that you would live a consecrated life to be one with the Lord on your campus, to learn how to bear fruit, to learn how to contact the Lord, to learn how to exercise your spirit, and to finally to have this vision, the vision of the age. And actually, in brief, I covered these four lines that we will be getting into. Every year, there are these four lines, right? But like I mentioned before, we need to realize, actually, there is a difference between a training and a conference. Right? I think all of you have participated in a college conference, maybe as a young person, a young person's conference. You know, a training is different. I could just give you some examples. Number one, there are rules and regulations, right? In a conference, we would never tell you what you can wear and what you can't wear. But in the training, actually, when you all fill that out, right, on collegetraining.org, you filled out your application, you read the rules and regulations, right, and you signed it digitally, right? You all read it, right? You all, everybody's staring at me with a blank. Yeah, you read it. Okay. So you signed yourself over to the training. So what does that mean? That means tomorrow morning, if Hanley walks through the door with shorts and a t-shirt, actually the ushers can tell you, brother, you need to go back and, you know, put on the proper attire, right? If you come through the doors and you don't have a badge, well, you might say, oh, it's just a badge, right? Oh, Jerry, you know, everybody knows Jerry. Jerry's a popular kid. You know, why do I need to wear a badge? But this is a training. And the training regulation states that you need to wear a badge, okay? I'm wearing a badge. All the, you know, everyone here tonight, we're wearing badges, right? This is part of the training. And so there's other elements of the training, right? Everybody, even in the car ride up, this was the hot topic of conversation. Testing. Oh, from last year and in the years before, a lot of you participated. Maybe you're not good at memorizing, and so you don't have a heart for it. And you know, but I hope you're here with a willingness, an open heart. You know, we're not here to compete. We're not here to see who's the brightest, who's the best at memorizing verses. But it's your heart. It's your attitude. Are you willing? Are you willing to participate in the training? Are you willing to allow the Lord to speak to you this week? Are you willing to be adjusted by Him? And so we hope all of you here, right? It's one thing to, you know, fill out an application, but it's another thing sitting here. Maybe your heart, you have to check with the Lord. Is my heart here for the training, right? Do I have a heart to be trained? And so I hope all of us, we would have that heart. So we need to, right, memorize our verses. I think the email that was sent to you all was, what, the first day, right? You should have memorized it. And so anyway, we'll get to that later. So these four lines, I think, if we have a heart to be trained, we will receive a lot of help. For example, the first line on spending time with the Lord. How many of you have heard that topic? Many, many years. Yeah. How many of you are well equipped? You feel you're the master. You're really good at spending time with the Lord. I can't even raise my hand, right? Actually, there's a lot in that line that if you're open to, you can receive a lot of help. How do you spend time with the Lord? Actually, a lot of you who grew up, right, in the meeting, in the church, you've heard that. You know you're supposed to spend time with the Lord. But maybe along the way, you've never really figured it out. I could testify over these last however many years, I received so much help every year. By hearing the sharing, not from just the brothers, but from one another. Actually, we'll give you time later in this week where we can hear from one another how we spend our time with the Lord, right? Oh, my mind, when I'm spending time with the Lord, it's always wandering, right? How do you overcome that? There's a lot of different experiences in the body that we can receive help from. The line on exercising a spirit, oh, that's another, right? Topic that we all know. Exercise the Spirit. Maybe some of you think exercise the Spirit is, Lord Jesus! Praise you, Lord Jesus! Well, it is, right? But actually, there's more to that. We'll get to it, right? What does it mean to exercise the Spirit? Exercising the Spirit is not just noise, louder, fist pumps. No, there's more to that, right? We'll get to that later. Okay, and then preaching the gospel, fruit bearing, right? This is for you on campus. Oh, we need to receive a lot of help on this topic, right? That we could really be the fruit-bearing branches in the vine, right? We'll see, actually starting tomorrow, that it's a serious thing to not bear fruit. I'm going to share that tomorrow. We'll wait till tomorrow to get into that. And then finally, in the evening nine, this is where we see the vision. And so this year, right, how about we read the title together? What is the topic for this year? Knowing, seeing, and gaining God. Well, you can't see that. Yeah, that's in your binder, in the age of godlessness, right? And actually, there's a reason why God is cut off. Maybe we'll get to that later. But maybe you can think about that right now. So this is a serious topic. It's a very sobering word. And the brothers giving the evening line will expound it from the first day to the last. That we need to be those in this age to really know God. Amen. Know God. Know God as God. Amen. Not just God the Father. Not just know God as the Spirit, the flowing river. But we need to know God. God. Anyways, so this hopefully through this week, we could really, right, at the end, say that we know God a little bit more. That we've seen Him, right, and that we've gained Him. And so training is necessary, right, because it's not just a matter of life. Actually, you know, I was touched that last song that we sang, right, Until We All Arrive. Do you know, actually, the verse right before that? This is in Ephesians, right? We sang 4:13, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But the verse right before that, it starts off with this, for the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints. In other words, the ultimate goal is the growth, right? It's the building up of the body, the full-grown man. But how do you reach that goal? Well, you might answer me in this way. Well, I just need to enjoy life. I need more life. I just need to enjoy the dispensing of the triune God. That's true. I would not disagree with you. But you also need training, right? We need to be trained. Just like in life, and I would say the human life, even in the plant life, actually, all kinds of life, you need to have some sort of training. If you have a dog at home, and that dog is not properly trained, and it would just pee everywhere, you know, there's something lacking there, right? In a human life, there are many things that you can only do. You could do well, perform well, only by training. How many of you play an instrument? Like, play an instrument well. Like, I say I play a guitar, but I don't play it very well. Right. Yeah. How many years of training have you undergone, right, to be able to play that instrument, right? Riding a bike, you need a training. Playing a sport, you need training, right? So it's not just that we have the human life, the capacity to do something. Like, I had the capacity to play the piano, but I could only play Mary Had a Little Lamb, right? But to be able to play these hymns, right, the songs, you need training, right? And so the human life, the Christian life, needs training, right, needs perfecting. And so we see, actually, that this training takes place a lot of times through regulations, right? And this is why we have these rules and regulations, and we'll get to that. And so ultimately, we go through training, or we subject ourselves through training, is so that the life that is in us can flourish, can grow in a proper way. Not in a wild way, right? But in a proper way. And so we also need training because it helps us build character, right? You know, and we'll see this component develop during the week, right? I don't know if we're doing cabin checks. Maybe we probably will do cabin checks, right? Your character. You know, it's one thing to come to the meetings and, you know, you're releasing your spirit. But then we go to your room, go to your bed, and clothes are everywhere, right? Bed is not made. Trash on the ground. What about your character? Actually, you'll see that the humanity, right, that we have is very, very important in God's plan. It's not just all spiritual, but there's a human side. And actually, if you consider the Lord Jesus himself, he had the highest, the most fine, the most proper, the most complete human character, right? And so we need that humanity in order to be useful to the Lord, in order to even bear responsibility for the Lord. If this table, right, was crooked in any way, right, then you can't put any weight on it, right? If it has any flaw, right, you would not be able to put heavy things on it, right? And so we need to have the proper character. And maybe even during this training, if you're open to the Lord, you'll experience dealings, right? And then when we say the word dealing, sometimes we, oh no, don't, no. You know, the Lord is very gentle, right? And his speaking is very soft. And he'll touch us. And whenever he touches us, actually there's always a supply. And so maybe dispositionally, you're just shy, right? And then, but, you know, during this training, the brothers here, we have the freedom to call you up. Maybe one day after a message, we'll say, okay, the third row sisters, come up to the microphone and share. This is a training. If it's a you know, we would never do this in a conference, but in a training, right? This is what takes place, right? And so we have to learn how to what? Deny ourselves, right? Reject who we are and participate in such a way. And so I think I'll stop here. I think Andrew has some additional points, and then we'll go through.
I do feel that our burden tonight is just to convey to you all that how it's such a great privilege to be here with all of you. We're not trainers. We're not, you know, none of us are perfected, but we're coming to the Lord's training. You know, the Lord's training us. We can be doing so many other things, but we're giving the Lord this week. Or we can say the Lord had mercy on us, that this week we're available, right? We're here. I'm so grateful that you know all the times that the Lord had brought me to the college training. My first college training was I was a senior in college. That was really I would say that was a pretty is a landmark experience in my Christian life. I enjoy it so much that I've been going to many other college trainings after that. But I would say that my best college training was when I was a student. That was really just the best, you know. When after that, it's different. So I would really say that you guys are really fortunate, you know, being here as a student, because the Lord has so much that he wants to give to you. I think Shepherd has mentioned about the importance of a training. And I just mentioned some things regarding how to prepare ourselves, how to become the best receiver here, right? But before that, I just want to mention again the four lines that Shepherd mentioned. These four lines, I would say there are very, at least the first three, they're very foundational, very basic. But they're so important that without them, we'll just become defeated. We Christian, right? The first one, having a personal time with the Lord, right? Without that, I just don't know how we can survive as a Christian. The first topic tomorrow morning, session one, we'll be covering the topic of calling on the Lord. Who has heard this before? I think all of us. So I would say that don't come as a come ready to receive something new. Right? Don't say, oh, again. Like, how many times have you heard the matter of calling on the Lord? Plenty of times. But I still need it. We can't graduate. We can't stop calling on the Lord. So our appreciation of calling on the Lord has to increase more and more and more until we're just, like, calling everywhere, right? And this is calling. And all the other things are musing. This is something new. I've never heard that much about musing on the word. So I'm really looking forward to this one. praying. Like we know about praying, right? We know that we need to pray. So, but let me ask you: without praying, what kind of Christians are we? Maybe not a Christian even if you don't pray, right? So we need to be perfected. We need to be trained in the matter of praying, singing, right? This matter, another matter that we're covering. Even our singing tonight, right? It's so enjoyable. I realized like when I first come, it was not many smiling faces, but and then after we sing that song, let us all rejoice. There's a lot more smiling faces. So like just a hint, just a helpful tip that when we sing, try to smile. I think we enjoy it more. But if you're smiling and singing at the same time, it's you're making yourselves happy, you're making the Lord happy, and you're making others happy. Yeah. Anyway, the matter of singing is really, really important. And then giving thanks, right? This is what the Lord told us: in everything, give thanks. But we still have to be perfected, be trained in this matter. And finally, the matter of speaking. That's the first line. The morning session one. And the morning session two is the matter of bearing fruit. This matter, I'm always kind of like, oh, I'm so afraid of gospel preaching. It's like, let me just do things, in the church life. I love doing things, but we need to bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, in a sense, that we're defeated Christian. So we need to be perfected. I need to be perfected in the matter of bearing fruit. Then we realize like the matter. Then from this week, we learn that the matter of to be perfected in the matter of preaching the gospel is not just a matter of like knowing how to speak the gospel better, not to have a composed message, but it's really a matter of abiding in the vine, being connected with one another, having companions, having ones that we can pray with. So this week we'll hear really helpful. Truth regarding all these things, and the last line, Shepherd has mentioned it, the matter of knowing, gaining, and seeing God. So some of the things that I feel very helpful in our receiving the word is that with Shepherd mentioned that training has happened many, many years, and then the schedule that we have, it's in a sense that it's been perfected all these years. And you realize that if you open the schedule, especially if this is your first one, it's going to be a lot of meetings, right? It's a lot of meetings. So we need to prepare ourselves, right? We need to be in the best condition, when we come to these meetings. So some of the tips that I have received from others is that it's good to come on time, right? Come on time. Come singing. Get as far to the front as possible. Fill up the front row. But here you can't reserve a seat. So no seat reserving, okay? You can't put your backpack there. So if you see a backpack and you're not there, you can just move it. Oh, go there and sit. Or sing, praise the Lord. So what also important is that how we are before we come to the meeting. We need to come as an open vessel. There's a lot that the Lord can do. With an open vessel. The Lord doesn't need perfected people right now. The Lord is perfecting us. Well, for that, He needs an open vessel. And our vessel is very much related with the heart, how we are with the Lord. Even our attitude, right? Our attitude in our listening in the message. Like I mentioned before, when we hear some of the topics, some of the things that the brothers would say, it's like, reject the thoughts, from Satan or from yourself that I've heard that before. I'm many times. So be an open vessel that like, I want to receive. All these things are new to me. There's so many new things that the Lord wants to speak to us. We don't know what the Lord wants to speak to us, right? So we need to be an open vessel. Another good practice is just to say no to some of the things that typically bother us, just many examples. I don't know. We all have different things, quirks that will bother us. Why did that brother say that thing to me? He took the last rib. I don't even wanted it. He took it. It's like, but just say no. Like, no, I don't want to think like that. I'm preparing myself to be open vessel. You know, this is, they might sound funny, but especially in our situation right now, we're one with one another for 7 days, and then they're with brothers and sisters, right? So if you have a thought, oh, that sister is smiling at me, if your brother and that sister is smiling at me, maybe she, you know, I don't know, why is she smiling at me? It's like, no, she's not smiling at you. She's smiling because she's happy in the Lord. So don't entertain any of these thoughts. Do not even come close. You know, do not even consider any of those. Sanctify yourself. The Lord, at least for this 7 days, we need to set ourselves apart for the Lord. We're not here to this and that, you know what I mean? But we're here for the Lord. Right? Again, it's for the opportunity, for the here we want to receive the maximum benefit, right? For the maximum dispensing that we're going to receive from the Lord. I don't know how much the Lord wants to speak to us, but I believe that the Lord is eager. The Lord is happy. The Lord is really, really happy for us to be here, right? There's so much that He wants to give us. So, yeah, anyway, open vessel. Write that on your notebook. Someone you know, when things come, say, open vessel. Lord, I want to become an open vessel. Also to realize that, you know, like I mentioned, the schedule is packed, but the schedule is made in such a way that we can receive, you know, all these truths and all the practices, and then we will be praying with one another. So the schedule is designed for, and again, for maximum dispensing. The schedule is designed for our maximum benefit, right? So adhere to the schedule. I realize that some of the things might be too much for you. You just, you know, if you're physically tired, you just can't do it. We can fellowship to us brothers, and then we can consider what some of the things that we can do, you know, to help you to still receive from the speaking. We mentioned also the serving ones, that it's important to pace yourself. It's 7 days again, and then there's time where you need to rest. So you need to again be diligent to rest, right? Sometimes like, why rest? I got so many other things that I want to do, but it's important to rest, because we need to be healthy. We need to be active, you know, in our spirit, in our being, so that, again, so we can be an open vessel, right? And I would say that when we're in a meeting, some of the things that might help you is that take notes. Some of you may have perfect memory, but I probably not, right? So I mean, how many times that you go to a meeting, you enjoy it so much, and someone asks you, how was the meeting? It's like, yeah, it's good. What's good about it? The speaking. What was shared? So, but, you don't have to memorize that, you know, for forever, but if you have your notes, you can go back to it and look at, oh, I enjoyed this, really. Actually, in the meeting, I was really touched by this. This is a really good reminder, right, that whatever, just take notes. It's also keep us awake. And then, There'll be many opportunities to prophesy. I think the matter of prophesying and speaking. So you're not here just to listen. You know, that's a big part of the training. But another big part of the training is for you you need to speak. Amen. Yeah. And then the speaking is not just limited to, like, you know, after the meeting. Speak to one another. Amen. Right? We have like all these ones right here that are willing to listen. Right? Where else can we find such, you know, hundreds of people who are willing to listen to the gospel, right? For the whole week, we want to, you know, we can speak to one another. We can speak what we enjoy. We can speak. We can practice the gospel. You know, we can practice speaking the outline. You know, and also taking notes is important, because every day you'll have a group time where you'll be gathered with your groups. For about 40 to 50 minutes to study just to get into the messages that was given. So it's important for you to have two of your notes so you know, you remember, you know, what was spoken. Amen.
I'm just going to take about 15 minutes to do two things. One is to talk a little bit about the title of the whole week. And the second thing is to talk about the importance of being constituted with the truth. That's not one of our outlines. It's just a burden that we have, the co-workers have in the Lord's Recovery, related to this ministry that we have been enjoying since we came into the church life, came into the Lord's Recovery. So these two things. The first one is the title. Let's read the title of this conference together. Knowing, seeing, this is a very crucial title. We've never covered these outlines before because we've never been in such an environment before. Well, maybe I should put it this way. Since the beginning of the Bible, the world is in an age of godlessness. That's not new. You have all these kinds of things. We're going to be studying the verses in the New Testament. We always have been living in an age of godlessness. But I've been a Christian now for 40 years. And actually, I was saved when I was about 8. So that makes me, what, a Christian for 61 years. I've been a Christian for 61 years, and I have never sensed the age of godliness so deeply and strongly as I have in the last at least 2 years. Don't you feel? It's just deeper. It's stronger. It maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not that it has changed that much, but people are openly defying God and challenging the existence of God and living their lives as if there is no God and there will never be any judgment. And I think we all have recognized this. And it's in the political environment. It's in the social environment. It's on your college campuses. It's in your high schools. It's now reaching the youngest of the children. I've heard recently, I don't know if you've heard this, recent stories of young parents with preschool kids that come home and say, how come I don't have two daddies? How come I don't have two mommies? These are 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. And the young parents, these young mothers and fathers, they're facing, how do I explain this to my 3-year-old? Now, it's not that that never happened before, but people didn't talk about it like that. They didn't teach it in preschool. So that's how deep this age of godliness has become. And so when the brothers, we first fellowship, I can't recall exactly, but I think it was the winter training last year. I think it was the first time. And Brother Minora brought this up, and he said, brothers, I just have this feeling about knowing God. Because we have covered many, many topics, as the brothers have mentioned. Some we've repeated because they're so important. But we've never touched this matter of knowing God. And there was a resonance in all of us there, serving ones there, from the college training. This is needed. And it's very much needed right now. We need to know God. In this age of godliness, what is needed are people who know their God. And who are strong and take action. That's Daniel. And you'll get that verse tomorrow. This is very crucial in this age. How do we stand against this age of godliness? How can we hopefully turn people in this age of godliness to know God? It's not by simply preaching something. It's by you and I knowing God Himself. Amen. Knowing Him. Knowing Him in His Word. Knowing Him in our subjective experience. Having Him speak to us in our daily life. We know God. Amen. We don't just know about Him. We need to be those who know Him intimately, who know Him personally. then you might be able to help someone who really needs to know God because they find themselves in a very terrible environment and situation. And so they need the Lord. And the way for us to help them is by knowing God.
Amen.
So I want you to write down these few words. These are verbs. These are the action words in all of the... There are actually seven messages. We only have six nights. So we have to cover two in one night. But I want you to just write down these verbs. Knowing. Believing. You not only need to know Him, you have to believe Him, right? Enjoying. We not only need to know God and believe in to God, we need to enjoy Him. Then entering. This is a marvelous, marvelous word. We need to enter into God. Then seeing. We have that, right? And gaining. This is actually the one message, seeing and gaining. And the last one is quite striking. I don't know if you would think about this. Becoming. Think about it. Are we not becoming God? Are we not?
Amen.
We are. We are becoming God. In life and nature. And I used to always be quick to put, but not in the Godhead. But I'm not going to say that anymore because that's defensive. We're not defensive about it. We are becoming God.
Amen.
In life and nature.
Amen.
We are. That's what sons do. Sons become like their father.
Amen.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Of course, we're not to be worshipped. We're not, you know, part of the Godhead, but we are becoming. Now, so the titles are this: Knowing God in an Age of Godliness. That's tomorrow night. Believing that God is.
Amen.
This is a crucial message from Hebrews 11:6. Believing that God is. Then enjoying what God is. That's very subjective, very experiential. Enjoying what He is in His life, and His nature, and His attributes. That's two outlines. We won't cover everything, but you will have all the verses and the points in your outline for you to continue to go in. Then, entering into the desire of God's heart. What could be more enjoyable than this? Entering into the desire of His heart. Not only we know Him, He wants us to enter into His heart.
Amen.
And realize and enjoy the desire of His heart, which is His good pleasure. Then seeing and gaining God. Very experiential. Not only seeing Him, but gaining what He is and who He is. Then the last one is becoming the mystery of godliness. This is 1 Timothy, right? The church is the mystery of godliness in an age of ungodliness. So not only we want to know Him, we want to believe in Him, we want to enjoy Him, see Him, gain Him, enter into His heart. We are becoming the mystery of godliness.
Amen.
In an age of ungodliness, we want to be the mystery of godliness.
Amen.
And stand against this tide of this age of ungodliness. I feel, brothers and sisters, this is a treasure. This is worth more than what we paid to get here, I think. There's a real treasure here because, and I also want to encourage you that every line, I've been in the college training now serving since we started Athens, which was when? Did you say 2006? Seven. Since 2007, we started the East Coast College Training, and I've been in all the college trainings. And in my experience, you just enjoy each line every morning, each one, then this one, and then the next one, and then the evening line. And you just, especially if you start to write down what you've enjoyed, and we're going to encourage you to do this. We're going to give you a journal. We want you to do some journaling at the end of the evening. Journal what the Lord spoke to you. Write it down. Write it down. And that will encourage you to, when you go back and go over it. Okay? Now, I want to take the last few minutes to talk a little bit about our need to be constituted with the truth. Okay? Now, because we're in such an age, today, the whole earth needs the truth. The truth sets us free. We all need the truth. And the Lord commissioned us, right? Go. You recited that verse tonight. Go and disciple all the nations, teaching them, right? Baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded you. Why? Because the earth needs the truth. This earth, this world, this age of godlessness really needs the truth. And of course, the truth we're talking about is the truth that is in the Bible. So it's not a small thing. I know some of you, it's hard for you to memorize verses, and we understand that, and you know, we're not judging anyone, but we're encouraged tonight. I'm encouraged tonight that so many of you could come up here voluntarily and share these verses. You are being constituted with the truth. If you can memorize these, how many do we have? 8 a day or something like that? Only five? We got to give them more from on 5 a day. These are college students. Anyway, all right. Anyway, you know my point, right? Okay. You know my point. My point is that whatever you can get, if you can get one verse a day, that's better than none. If you can get two or three, you are being constituted with the truth. And that truth will serve you your entire Christian life. I memorized most of these verses when I was a teenager. Of course, I memorized another version. But it's not hard to convert to the recovery version. Now I can recite many of them. I have to review a little bit, but I can recite them. Because what you learn between 16 years old and 22, 23, you really have a great capacity for memorization. What you learn in those years, you will not forget. I can't remember what I ate 2 days ago, but I can remember these verses from 30, 40 years ago. Right? So your memory is very sharp. You should use it. Now, I have the brothers from the college training prepare this little outline, so I just want to read a little quote here from the elders' training. You know, the truth is nowhere else except in the Bible, but the Bible needs an opener. Write that down. The Bible needs an opener. And the verses are in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was charged by the Spirit to go join himself to the chariot. And in that chariot, that Ethiopian, who was a eunuch, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And so when Philip got there, he saw, and he was reading it aloud. And he said, "Do you know what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian said, "How can I know unless someone helps me? Right? Unless someone opens it to me." And so Philip opened up what he was reading, Isaiah 53, about the Lord Jesus. He was reading it, but he didn't understand it. He didn't understand it. He needed an opener. And brothers and sisters, this is what the ministry is. This ministry that we have inherited, that we have gotten in touch with and are reading, the ministry of Watchman Nee and the ministry of Witness Lee, this ministry opens the Bible and helps us to understand the Bible and helps us to experience the truths in the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, we have a strong burden. We need to read this ministry. And in many of the churches, we've started corporate readings of different books. The church in New York, we're on our fourth book now, The Bridge and Channel of God. Marvelous book. And we've been reading several books, and we hope the saints can get into it. But there is a real burden among the brothers in the Lord's Recovery that we would get into the life studies. We would get into the ministry books. And so, brothers and sisters, this is really our burden tonight. We want to encourage you, and I don't know exactly how to encourage you, but we need to get into this ministry. Of course, we need to read our Bible every day. We need to have some morning revival, have some time to pray, read the Word. But in addition to that, when we came into the church life, we always were reading a spiritual book with the Bible. My first spiritual book was The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit. I've been a Christian for more than 15 or 20 years, and in denomination, and I was not really, I don't think any of us were going on in denomination. We were just saved and, you know, kind of waiting to go to heaven, trying to preach the gospel here or there, you know. But someone gave me a copy of this book, The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit. I tell you, this is a marvelous book. This book changed my entire life. That book tells us we have three parts. We have a spirit and a soul and a body. And for the spirit to come out, it has to go through the soul to be expressed. So the soul needs to be broken to release the spirit. And it's just a marvelous book. And it talks about how this grain of wheat went into the ground and died. Even his shell of his humanity was broken so that the divine life could be released. And in the same way, we need to experience the cross of Christ. We need to experience being broken and transformed so that the Spirit, the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving Spirit dwelling in your spirit can flow out. But sometimes our soul is like sulfur. You know, and the spring of water beneath the sulfur is very pure and so marvelous. But when it passes through the sulfur, what does it smell like? Rotten eggs. And nobody wants to drink that, right? And sometimes our spirit comes out with a kind of a not such a good flavor. Why? Because we're not that broken. And our natural man is coming out. And our own opinion comes out, and our flesh sometimes gets mingled in there. So we need the breaking of the outer man for the release of the spirit. My point is not so much the content of that book. My point is that this ministry changed my life. And it can change your life. It's not enough for you just to grow up in the church life and to get saved and to come to the summer school, come to the college trainings. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But you need to be constituted with this ministry. And we've got some ministry books this week. We're going to recommend some to you. If you don't have a copy of your own, you should be able to get that, and you should try to read it. The second testimony I want to give you is my wife's testimony. She came into the church life in college in New York, and when she was on her first spring break, she came up to the leading brothers, actually Brother Benjamin Chen in New York, and Brother Benjamin... Oh, she needed a ride to the subway because she lived in Manhattan, and from Queens she needed a subway ride after the meeting. So Brother Benjamin asked her, what are you going to do on your spring break? And she said, I don't know. And so he said, well, and out of his book bag he said, I have this book, The All-Inclusive Christ. How would you like to read it? And she said, sure. And so she took the book. And he's encouraged us many times, don't wait till you get to the full-time training. When you have a break of a week, get into a book. You can read a ministry book in less than a week, easily. So he gave her that book. Next Lord's Day, when he saw her in the meeting, she came and handed him the book and said, I finished it. And he said, very good. What did you enjoy? And so she shared something. And he said, I just happen to have another one. And she read another one. And this happened the next week. Just kept reading. And she got into the habit of reading this ministry. And you know, in those days, we didn't have a... Now, I mean, probably in most of your homes, the books line the entire wall of the house, right? It's a little overwhelming. In those days, we only had about five or six major titles. And, you know, The All-Inclusive Christ, The Economy of God, The Experience of Life, The Knowledge of Life, a few like this. Sit, Walk, Stand. We had Watchman Nee books. Sit, Walk, Stand, and The Normal Christian Life, and so anyway, and the basic lessons, 12 baskets full. I devoured those books. Devoured those books. We all need to get into this ministry. We have wildlife. We have wildlife out here. Did you see any wild turkeys yet? Do we have wild turkeys? So, don't be distracted by the wildlife. Anyway, this is a second testimony. Okay, I want to give you another testimony. When I was In 1980, there was a call for some who would like to help with this burden to smuggle Bibles into mainland China. Did you go? I was a Bible smuggler. I'm sorry, I'm confessing here. I was a criminal, a Bible smuggler. And so we went to Hong Kong, and Andrew Yu was the serving one in charge of the visas for the Bible smugglers. And we got a visa, and we filled our suitcases with Bibles, and we went into mainland China. Okay, so when they were filling my bookcases, I noticed they weren't filling them with Bibles. They were filling them with ministry books. So anyway, I said, it's okay. Anyway, so I went into, and then the Red Guard caught me the first time. And they opened one of my suitcases, you know. I had one of those double suitcases, and they opened it up full of ministry books. And he said, "What are these?" I said, "Those are my books." Of course, they're in Chinese, you know. And he said, "They're your books?" I said, "Oh, yes, all of them are my books. Those are my books, my personal books. I'm going to read them." And, of course, he didn't believe me. And he said, "Well, okay, I'll hold your personal books for when you leave the country. We'll just keep them here." So he kept that suitcase and the other suitcase I brought in. And the brothers told me, and when I brought in the first one, they said, "Don't worry, we'll get the second one on the way out." And sure enough, on the way out, when I was getting on the train to go out of China, they just walked by and picked up my second suitcase and took it out. So the Red Guard's pretty smart. They know what they're doing. But the brothers are a little smarter. They know how to get the Bibles. My point is this. I was upset with the Lord that I didn't. I heard all kinds of stories about these men and women walking for 2 weeks from northern China to get down to Guangzhou and get a Bible. And, you know, and coming and getting to the sister's house. There was a sister who eventually was in New Jersey who she opened her house to hold the Bibles for the saints to come. And I heard these stories about these people would come and they would cry and say, "I've been praying for 30 years for a Bible, and now I finally have one," you know. And I said, "Lord, how come I didn't bring any Bibles? I just brought in the ministry books." And the Lord struck me. And he said, "How many Bibles have you had on your shelf all your life?" And of course, I had 10, maybe 12 Bibles. And he said, "And when did you understand what was in there?" "When I read the breaking of the outer man. Of the Spirit." Up until that time, I didn't know what was in there. I needed an opener. Amen. And brothers and sisters, you need an opener. Amen. You need this ministry. Amen. You need this ministry, which opens the Bible. And you can recommend it. You know, the best way to get a friend to read something is because you've read it and you've enjoyed it. And, you know, they say, "What are you reading?" "Oh, I'm reading this. It's really good. You want to..." Oh, and they take it. And many times they will read it because you've enjoyed it. Share something with them. You've enjoyed it. We need to get into this ministry. Amen. Let me just read a couple of lines from this outline and then we'll close. The New Testament says repeatedly that we should know the truth. We all know this, right? 1 Timothy 2:4, God's desire that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Moreover, when referring to this matter, Paul repeatedly said we should come to the full knowledge of the truth. This means we need to know not just a small part, but rather the truth in its entirety and in all of its aspects. When it gets into you, the truth gets into you through your mentality, your understanding. Right? Gets into your memory, it becomes a constant and long-term nourishment. Then you have an accumulation of the truth, and you are a person continually under its constant nourishment. Write this down, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, spiritual understanding. We need to be constituted with the truth. Then we will know how best to present it to others. Now, to do this, we can't do this in a short time. We have to make this our practice, write this down. We have to make this our habit. Always are reading a spiritual book along with you know. And I would say, in addition to, we always have the Holy Word for our morning revival. That's good. But we need to read through a book, whether it's 6 or 8 chapters or 20 chapters. We need to be reading through some spiritual book that can help us and constitute us even more. It must be our practice. Then I want to leave you with this verse. This is a quote from Brother Lee. The young people must learn the highest truth while they are in their youth. And I'll write this down and you can read it later. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 15 is famous. It says, do not love the world, right? But chapter 2, verse 14 is very good. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. For you to be strong, the word must abide in you. You must be constituted with it. For you to overcome the devil, right? And they overcame him by what? The word of their testimony. That means not just speaking something. Their testimony is how they live. How do you live according to the truth? Is your outer man being broken so that the spirit can be released? Are you enjoying the all-inclusive Christ? Do you live your life according to the economy of God? What is your experience of life? And how much knowledge of life do you have? It's all according to the openers of these phrases, which are all titles of books and of this ministry. We need to be constituted. We overcome him by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Surely we need the blood. And they love not their soul life unto death. How can you love your soul life, not love your soul life enough to be martyred for the Lord? I tell you, the only way is to be constituted with this ministry. The more you read this ministry, the more you love the Lord. You know, when I was single, I lived in Manhattan on 79th Street. And in the early days, we didn't have a full-time training. My full-time training, Brother Lee said, some of you brothers need to drop your job, read the life studies in the morning, go to the campus in the afternoon, and go to the church meetings at night. That was our full-time training. Okay? So in the morning, I would read life studies all morning. And then after lunch, I'd go to the campus. We'd go to Columbia, NYU, City College. And then in the evenings, I would go to church meetings, small group meetings, prayer meeting, Friday night meetings, and you know, help to be with the saints. That was how, that was our full-time training. We sometimes are, I am anyway, jealous that you can go for 2 years and get what it took me 20 years to get. But anyway, I got it in 20 years. But anyway, I would read the life studies in the morning. And in those days, I was a single brother. Eventually, I had some brothers living with me. So anyway, I had a cleaning lady who came once a week. And, you know, she would come and she couldn't figure me out at all, you know. And so one day she finally asked, she said, how come you're so happy? And I just finished, you know, my Ephesians life study for the morning. And I said, because of the life studies. And I gave her, you know, in those days we didn't have the green volumes. We had single life studies, you know, one at a time. And I said, because of this, the life studies, it opens the Bible because I love the Lord Jesus, you know. And I experienced every time you read a life study, you love the Lord more. Amen. That was just my experience. And I told her this. I said, every time I read one of these, I love the Lord more. And she was really, really surprised. And happy, I think. She was a believer. Very happy. Okay, so then the last point is this. Oh, okay, there's one little point. Never forget the race, okay? We're running a race, right? Right? Hebrews 12, run. We're all running this race, and we need to not be encumbered. But this is interesting. Brother Lee said this. Never forget the race between the hare and the tortoise. The tortoise wins the race. If we keep going slowly, we will win the race. Don't try to read the economy of God tomorrow. Just read a little bit. Just read a chapter a day, half a chapter a day. the tortoise, the one who keeps going, that wins the race. Then lastly, we must therefore spend time laboring on the truth. Not only should we understand the truth, but we should also be able to use simple words to teach others the truth. Simple words to teach others the truth. And there's a verse reference here which I like. I want to read to you. Psalm 45:1. My heart overflows with a good matter. I speak that which I have composed concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When we enjoy the word, when we enjoy the truth, we have something to share with others. Our heart overflows with the Lord. And our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. We have volumes to write. So I hope that this would encourage you to be constituted with this ministry and to get these books. I know they're all available online, and I'm not opposed to you reading them online and to reading electronic copies of them. But I would say and encourage you, it's not bad to buy a paper book and underline it as you're going and write notes in it. You know, we're about to receive, I believe, and by next year or something, or maybe 2 years, we will receive all the completed works of Witness Lee from 1937, I think. Is that right? And one of those volumes is the notes in his 6 Bibles that he used. All the notes in his Bibles. So it's good to take notes and underline and write down things. It's very good. And then when you go back and look at it again, it can help you to enjoy that. So anyway, this is a big burden we have, the co-workers have, and we want to pass it on to you because your age is the best age to get into these things. I know you study hard. I know you feel you're busy, and I'm not denying that. You are busy, but I know you don't believe what I'm about to say. You will never have more time than you do right now. Once you start a job, you'll be much busier. Once you have children, you'll be a lot busier. So it's much better for you now, while you're single, while you're in school, to take the time to enjoy him and take the time to be constituted with this ministry.